information is free.
The law?
There is hope.
When ignorance is converted into knowledge.
Tonight, we care.
To border
and it shows.
The law?
The country.
You will remember nine you have seen or heard here.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not cooperate, it made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.
When we pass the blame instead of trying to change, we pass the blame and our lives away. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the 190th episode of Media Monarchy. It's October 15th, 2010. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. This week, Econo Crash. Welfare and Walmart at midnight. Portlandia crime haven. Dando in danger. The Tree Man at 1013 and the Chilean 33, plus a little ICP. Pessimism, rioting Americans, and hicky actors, plus all the latest alternative news from Food World Order, Cyberspace War, New World Next Week, all that, so much more. October 15th, 2010, episode 190 of MediaMonarchy.com.
My fault, I never learned a trade, so I just scrape all day. It's not my fault, yeah, when there's never enough, so I just toil away. And what you say to me, not how love's supposed to be. And oh, what you do to me when you become the enemy. It's not your fault, yeah, things didn't turn out the way you dreamed in school. Now you're raising two, but it's your fault when you raise a pointed finger at the one who loves you. And oh, what you say to me, it's not how love's supposed to be. Become the enemy. Pass the blame and our life away. Pass the blame, watch us fall away. Pass the blame and our life away. Pass the blame. Just fall away. It's not our fault. Yeah, things never turn out the way we planned. Something we can never understand. And it's both our faults when we pass the blame instead of trying to change. Baby, just need to rearrange. And oh, what you say to me, it's not how how love's supposed to be. And oh, what you do to me, and you become the enemy. Pass the blame and our life away. Pass the blame, watch us fall away. Pass the blame and our life away. Pass the blame, watch us fall away.
Pass the blame, my friends. That's the one and only Evan Dando and the Lemonheads with Become the Enemy from their self-titled record from just a couple years back. It's their last album of new material. They put out a covers album last year. And we'll get into a little bit of news about Mr. Evan Dando as we progress through this jam-packed 190th episode of MediaMonarchy.com. Holy moly. It's October 15th, 2010, and my name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. Broadcasting, as always, live from the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org, live every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, here in the People's Republic of Oregon, in the Portlandia crime haven. And of course, none of this would be a damn bit worth it if we didn't have all the folks out there that help in all the ways that all the folks out there help. Like our fantastic affiliates, we're broadcasting and streaming live worldwide, ZeroPointRadio.com. They also kick it out on 92.3 FM and 1670 AM in Casper, Wyoming, growing, reaching more folks. I'm in the chat room right now on ZeroPointRadio.com. You could be as well. And of course, the worldwide home of free speech, RevereRadio.net. Simulcasting live, 1 p.m. on the East Coast as we speak. And of course, thanks to 98.5 FM in Olympia, Washington. FrOlympia.org, Free Radio Olympia. 104.1 FM in Berkeley, California, BerkeleyLiberationRadio.net. 90.7 FM in Kisilov, Alaska, thanks to OneSkyRadio.com. 89.9 FM in La Mesa, Texas, thanks to Patriot Radio. And my man Jeff at Radio23.org for getting the high-quality downloads, building out the redundancy. You can get the show, RadioForAll.net, Archive.org, Radio23.org. If one's down, the other will work. And you know, there's a number of ways to make contact with all of this. Facebook.com/Media Monarchy, and that gives the idea of how to find the rest of them. MySpace, Twitter, YouTube, Ustream, Blip, Cafe Press. Send your news tips and hate mail, MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. We're on Skype, Instant Messenger, iTunes, RadioForAll.net, Archive.org. We're going to work on a way to kind of streamline our feeds. Again, Media Monarchy is a one-man band, so sometimes things that started a couple years ago slowly snowball and get out of my control, and it's hard to keep all those little bells and whistles in check. But ultimately, that's not what it's about. Oh, God, I have to fix my Twitter background since they upgraded. But of course, your donations help make this happen. Paying our rent here at the Portland Radio Authority, paying for the domain names, paying for the P.O. Box, which I don't mention enough on air. Of course, it's on the top right of MediaMonarchy.com. P.O. Box 12165, Portland, Oregon, 97212. Send media to the monarchy. And the PayPal button is there. You can donate. You can donate anything you want. Huge thanks to Samuel in Belgium, Paul in Milwaukee, and Jeff in Hawaii, for their super generous, fantastic donations. And again, it's a huge boost. It's our own little money bomb, if you will. Money March. And of course, when you donate for a limited time and the window is closing, we're getting down to the last few exclusive DVDs of 2020 Hindsight from a man, Richard Grove, at TragedyAndHope.com. A nice catalyst for stepping up all our games in the independent alternative media. And I'm blessed to be associated with all these folks. We, of course, have so much to go over on this 190th episode. We're going to do it all. We always like to look at the news. Bernanke says Federal Reserve ready to further stimulate the economy. You should read that as they're going to print more money, more inflated paper garbage based on nothing. The other really interesting bit breaking in the news this morning, and again, we try and fill this in just to air time and cram it in with as much updated news as possible, because, of course, then I get home Friday afternoon and do the post-production on the show, and then I see other news. Oh, damn, I can't mention that. There's so much. We could do a daily show. But that's not going to happen anytime quite yet. But what I was going to say, the other interesting piece of breaking news that isn't posted yet to MediaMonarchy.com, Associated Press just 25 minutes ago, soldier says he was ordered to delete Fort Hood videos. A soldier who recorded the terror of last year's deadly shooting rampage in Fort Hood using his cell phone was ordered by an officer to delete both videos. There have been hearings about the Fort Hood massacre. Hassan, another fishy incident in a long line of many. Israel okays new homes in East Jerusalem, raising doubts about peace talks. And the USA Today invites us to take a sneak peek at Sarah Palin's Alaska. That and all kinds of other ridiculous news that we'll keep an eye on Google as we're doing the show live here. Again, it's October 15th, 2010. I think I hit all my points, my bits of info. I think I forgot to mention, and the thanks to Sam and Paul and Jeff for their donations last week. But if I did it, I thank them again. So we're going to hit all the latest alternative news in the Media Monarchy Kingdom. And all of those, again, that I'm fortunate enough to be associated with. But first, and it's been a while, late last night, we dropped the latest special interview episode from Media Monarchy, featuring an amazing talk with writer-activist Barbara Peterson of FarmWars.info. She's also co-host of Truth Squad Radio on Blog Talk Radio. We, of course, get into all the corporate shenanigans and invasive GMO technology and how it all essentially traces back to the eugenics agenda. That one-hour episode is available in the feeds. Please subscribe. Feeds.feedburner.com/Media Monarchy. Put that up your Google Reader and put that up your iTunes, and you'll get everything. Audio, video, PDFs, all of it. The FarmWars.info interview is, of course, cross-posted on FoodWorldOrder.com. And we'll get to all the latest on foodworldorder.com in just a few minutes. We want to mention, of course, the latest episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com, episode 50. I love big round numbers. This is episode 190. We just did the 50th of New World Next Week, where we go over Foreclosure Gate, Econo Crash, and Portlandia Crime Haven. And like I said, we will get to all of those stories. NewWorldNextWeek.com. And again, we spread this out. It's on youtube.com/Corbett Report. I upload it to archive, fleshing out the audio, the video, the high-quality version, the lower-quality version. We are also working very soon to have captions for the videos. Again, just another little piece to try and spread this out. I guess I've joked that New World Next Week is perfect for folks who are never going to listen to a weekly two-hour podcast. It's a nice little 10, 15-minute video. But even if you can't do that, we're getting the transcript for you. You can just scan over it. You don't even have to listen to anything. Or watch me in my wild gesticulations that people can't seem to stop commenting on. But ultimately, as we've always said, don't go down the ugly hole of comment boards and message boards and all of that. It's unfortunately a pretty shallow pool. But the latest episode's from my man James Corbett at CorbettReport.com. He's now busting out at least two episodes a week now, putting out the audio versions of documentaries that matter. The latest one being 7-7, Hijacking Humanity. Paul Verge of Divergent Films documentary, Hijacking Humanity. More on that at hijackinghumanity.com, divergentfilms.com. And James also just did about a half-hour interview with Paul Verge. That's an audio interview. It's also a three-part YouTube video interview. Episode 152, Crashes of Convenience, the mysterious crash of United Flight 553, better known, of course, as the Watergate plane. It contained, among others, Dorothy Hunt, the late E. Howard Hunt's wife. James is now co-hosting In the Zone with Eric Schein. I believe that's on republicbroadcasting.org. The Sunday Update, latest episode, 9/11 Explosions, Human Experimentation, and Bankster Break-In. He's already put up other episodes I haven't even caught up with. Speaking of keeping up, the seventh episode from the aforementioned Richard Andrew Grove of PeaceRevolution.org and TragedyAndHope.com. Episode 7 is the tie-in to Corbett Report's recent 150th episode, How to Defeat the New World Order. It's the huge conversation between Corbett, Grove, Jan Ervin, and Paul Verge. And again, that's available on PeaceRevolution.org. I'm behind. They put up Episode 8, Parisia. I haven't even posted that yet. All the fantastic media is flying out of everywhere, and I love it. Ground Zero. GroundZeroMedia.org. The 10-10-10 intensity. That's right. Clyde Lewis's last episode was broadcast on 10-10-10 at 10 p.m. at night on KUFO 101.1 FM here in Portland, Oregon. Tying in the 10-10 project that shows blowing up global warming skeptics. Again, tying into the eugenics, tying into the climate control of as we've coined it here. And I believe, although I shouldn't speak for him just yet, but I believe my man Clyde Lewis, who again is based right here in Portland, Oregon, as I am, I believe I'm going to have him in studio October 29th for episode 192. Of course, that's going to be Halloween weekend, my friends. That's a perfect time to get into Ground Zero Media. So there you have all the latest alternative news, again, from folks that I'm thankful to be associated with. And I love the way that they can try and bring me up. You know, they say you should always surround yourself with people smarter and better than you, so it'll bring you up. So I'm glad to be there. So, as we blast through all that, as we try and blast through everything, and again, my friends, I'm a one-man band, and as the shows have gone on, my studio production gets a little bit larger and a little bit more elaborate, but again, I'm pushing all the buttons and doing it myself. When we added in the live streaming video, of course, that became another plate to keep spinning, so here's a little secret. Sometimes when you hear me kind of babble and ramble on, I'm usually trying to quickly save one video and start the next one up. So now that you know that secret, let's move to cyberspacewar.com for all the latest updates going on in the war against inner space and outer space. The October 14th DEF CON Settlements, Citizenship, and Commercial Gain. A little update on the webcam Spygate story out of Pennsylvania. Threat level, of course, following it from the beginning. School district pays $610,000 to settle webcam spying lawsuits. I believe that was two cases. And from Computer World, we've discovered that the Department of Homeland Stupidity scoured social media sites during Obama's inauguration for items of interest. EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, EFF.org, released documents that reveal a broad range of targets, including Facebook and Twitter, as well as NPR and Daily Kos. Those left gatekeeper, no discussion of 9/11 questions allowed fake left. Because they got to make sure they've got the fake left in their pocket. Because, of course, that's the most effective way to attack a fake left puppet like the Obamasiah is from the left, is from his supposed support. Just as this best way to attack the previous puppet, Bush Jr., was from a conservative standpoint. Play the game against itself, and hopefully we can make some real change rise out of that. We'll see. Watch me hold my breath. Applying for citizenship, U.S. Citizenship and Immigration wants to be your friend. That's as well from EFF.org. Iranian and Chinese computers also hacked into the D.C. Internet voting system test. If you'll recall, we covered that last week. This update comes from bradblog.com. Comcast pushes a bot alert program nationwide. This ties in with, of course, Microsoft talking about licensing and talking about shielding other computers. When you get infected, we're going to say that means you don't get online. TheRegister.co.uk getting into Facebook, of course, killing privacy for commercial gain. And our last note on this DEF CON is a little bit of an update added after the fact. From Danger Room, super bombs and secret jails, what to look for in the upcoming WikiLeaks Iraq docs. The Afghanistan war logs were just the beginning. Coming as early as next week, WikiLeaks plans to disclose a new trove of military documents, this time covering some of the toughest years of the Iraq war. Up to 400,000 reports from 2004 to 2009 could be revealed this time, five times the size of the Afghan document dump. And we'll see what kind of fingers this points at what kind of bad actors in the geopolitical grand chessboard. Furthermore, on cyberspacewar.com, Google developing a fleet of autonomous vehicles. Google cars drive themselves in traffic. Great report that puts it into perspective from cryptogon.com, but it all sources back to a multi-part piece on the New York Times. Anyone driving the twists of Highway 1 between San Fran and L.A. recently may have glimpsed a Toyota Prius with a curious funnel-like cylinder on the roof. Harder to notice was that the person at the wheel was not actually driving. The car is a project of Google, which has been working on, in secret, but of course in plain view, on vehicles that can drive themselves using AI software that can sense anything near the car and mimic decisions made by a human driver. In secret, right in front of your face, as so many things really are. So, the way we like to do this, and the way I feel things fit together, is to look at the language, and we track the memes. And again, if I've slowly begun to sort of find a niche or fill a niche with Media Monarchy, it's that the massive data dump and data mining open source grab recontextualize and to give you the research links for you to do more research for yourself. That's the thing. To see the signs. And oh my, have there been many, many signs related to the skies, my friends. So I posted this Tuesday, October 12th, and this comes from DatelineZero.com. UK schools running UFO crash drills. There seems to be a growing trend among schools to stage a UFO crash and then teach students how to react, as well as to properly investigate and report on the incident. The latest UFO drill took place Wednesday, September 29th at the Sanford Primary School in the UK. The kids were treated to a full UFO crash scenario that included wreckage, police tape, and real police officers. Perhaps it was only lacking men from the government telling children not to talk about what they saw. What's interesting is that the police were on hand to show the children how to properly investigate the UFO crash site, as if they have experience. There are sources to other similar events in the UK. This one, thewestonmercury.co.uk. There's more from Journal Live, Harrow Observer, both with .co.uk. And you can see the training. You can see what we've been discussing. And, of course, GroundZeroMedia.org getting into, fantastically, this alien agenda, as Jim Mars calls it. Between the predictive programming and the shows and V and Skyline and the event and Flash Forward to the Vatican to their telescope called Lucifer to their admissions that it's okay to believe in aliens. We would baptize aliens. What do you hear? What's coming up in our Holy Hexes updates? This PSYOP is massive and growing. We do have a related story from the bottom of this post on UK schools running UFO crash drills. Strange signal comes from alien planet, scientist says. That planet would be the Goldilocks planet. I forget its precise technical name. But does this all tie in with what Nazi Wernher von Braun brought over, of course, as part of Project Paperclip, so we could help, or rather, they could help us get our rockets off the ground? The slow disclosure. It's not going to be ships hovering over the city, is it? It's going to be, well, here's some dead aliens. Well, here's some things made on a moon that isn't man-made, and we don't know where it came from. Who is it? One of the astronauts always talking about a monolith on the moon, straight out of 2001. And again, this is 2010, the year we make contact. So there's so much PSYOP going on. Now, we want to remind you that back in September, we noted that ex-NORAD officer predicted a tentative worldwide UFO display on October 13th. That was Wednesday. Freeman was another one talking about something happening on October 13th. And all the signs and symbols that tie into it. Chris Carter, X-Files, his production company, 1013. I made this. So we were watching the skies, and then, just as predicted, another PSYOP unfolds. Mystery shiny objects floating over Manhattan spark UFO frenzy. We'll take it from New York Daily News. A mysterious shiny object floating high over Manhattan's west side set off a flurry of reports and wild speculation Wednesday that a UFO was flying over the city. Police and the FAA said they'd been getting flooded with calls starting at about 1:30 p.m. East time from people reporting a silvery object hovering high over Chelsea. Law enforcement sources said they believed the object was likely some sort of balloon, but as of late Wednesday, they had not confirmed exactly what it was. And we do have this quick audio clip from ABC News.
Oh, snap. Yeah.
You got it? It's a bird. It's a plane. It's,
Maybe Superman. Maybe Wonder Woman.
You'd rather it be Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
There is something up there, and there's been a crowd of people at the corner of 8th and 23rd Street trying to figure out exactly what it is.
I think I see it now. Right over there.
Right over there.
But there's another one over here?
I
see those two over there.
Earlier today, it was over here.
I think it's a balloon.
I don't know. You think it's a balloon?
Yeah.
All right.
But then again, balloons don't stand still.
Maybe we're not all just seeing things. The city is reporting that they've been getting calls about this mystery in the sky to their 311 line. So far, they don't have an answer.
What is that?
To that question either.
Well, what do you think it is?
I don't know.
You don't want to say
I'm
it.
Looking for the mothership.
Ha ha ha, she is looking for the mothership, and maybe that's where this hype comes from, is that we're all looking for something else to save us. But of course, The PSYOP has been deflated. The Chelsea UFO theories have been deflated. The mysterious objects that hovered over West 23rd Street on Wednesday were almost certainly errant party balloons. And they came not from Mars, but Mount Vernon. It was just a freak thing. Frankly, I'm shocked by it, said Angela Freeman, head of the Milestone School and went in the Westchester suburb where the cluster of balloons was inadvertently launched. Kids behind UFO sightings over Manhattan. There you go, my friends. We'll quickly now move to all the latest from foodworldorder.com. And again, I'll remind you about our interview with Barbara Peterson of FarmWars.info, posted at the top of foodworldorder.com right now. But the October 14th binge and purge can't feel the beating, which is, of course, a play on the old Coca-Cola slogan, can't beat the feeling. I think I saw an old Soul Asylum shirt where they had a parody of the Coke logo that said, can't feel the beating. I always loved that and wanted to put it back out there for you. What this gets into is this warning that was put out to Glenn Beck on not drinking Diet Coke. He basically announced he's sick, his voice is messed up, he's a Mormon, so he doesn't drink coffee, but he drinks a shit ton of Diet Coke, which is laden with Rumsfeld's aspartame. So, of course, it was the InfoWars gang leading the charge on this, and then turned back around and Beck's little sidekicks who were covering his show for him attempting to debunk the aspartame controversy, but of course they can't. Sweet misery, aspartame is. GMWatch.org has a great breakdown on Roger Beachy, who you might recall we mentioned last week. He's now under the new USDA appointee from the Obama Saya, Catherine Wotecki. Of course, she's from Mars Incorporated. And Roger Beachy is, of course, a GMO eugenicist. Roger Beachy's evangelical push for GM foods. Again, that's from GMWatch.org. You must check that out. They also get into building the pressure on the Gates Foundation and all their connections to Monsanto. However, furthermore, Grist.org asks, what's driving Monsanto's fall from grace? Like Max Kaiser talked about, targeted boycotts. That we can look at these companies and see when they're starting to shake and really hit them where they hurt. And again, that could be the positive outcome of this new financial world order. If we can somehow escape the crush of all of it, we might be able to get rid of mall culture and Coca-Cola and some of the garbage. But not when there's garbage like this. Family Farm ordered to destroy 50,000 pounds of cheese. Of course, this ties in, not directly, but of course, overarching to the Rossum raids. And again, the war on food, the war on what you're allowed to eat. But again, of course, New York will say what you can and can't do with your food stamps because they've got you by the dole. More on that in this episode 190. The last note on this binge and purge: new FDA regulations to destroy small organic farms. That, of course, ties directly into what we just said. Last report from foodworldorder.com, again, comes from naturalnews.com. 3/4 of U.S. to be obese or overweight by 2020. America's already on the verge of drowning in sick care bankruptcy, but the situation is about to get even worse. According to a new study released by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD, 3/4 of Americans will be obese or overweight by 2020. That puts U.S. in first place for the world competition to see which nation can create the most obese population. We're number one. But seriously, according to the research, America is number one on the world obesity rankings, meaning a higher percentage of the U.S. population is obese or overweight than any other country in the world. The main three reasons that explain all this: we don't get much exercise, we eat too much food, and that food that we eat is mostly processed dead garbage of marginal nutritional value. And that, my friends, is a food world order. So there you have it. Amazingly enough, we blasted through all of the latest alternative news, again, from MediaMonarchy.com, CyberspaceWar.com, FoodWorldOrder.com, NewWorldNextWeek.com, CorbettReport.com, GroundZeroMedia.org, PeaceRevolution.org. Did I miss anything? But now we're back on MediaMonarchy.com, and we're going to get into what we got into on the latest episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com. Econo crash, welfare, debtors' prisons, and dying communities. And again, we thank Cryptogon.com for breaking things down, giving it a more effective headline, like something from a horror film. Walmart's swell with poor people once a month at midnight. When the government's electronic dole payout goes through, once a month, just after midnight, the beeping checkout scanners at a Walmart just off Interstate 95 come alive in a chorus of financial desperation. This is USA Today writing, however. Here, and at grocery stores across the country, the chimes come just after food stamps and other monthly government benefits drop into the accounts of shoppers who have been rationing things like milk, ground beef, and toilet paper and can finally stock up again. Shoppers mill around the store after 11 p.m., killing time until their accounts are replenished. When midnight strikes, they rush for the checkout counter. If this doesn't sound like Dawn of the Dead, shopping zombies, I don't know what does. We'll throw in a quick mention of the pro-foreclosure bill that slipped through Congress and made it to Obama's desk. But that's just a segue to get to allgov.com on debtors' prisons make a comeback in the U.S. America's jails are increasingly becoming de facto debtors' prisons as the legal system levies more fees than ever on individuals who wind up behind bars simply because they can't pay their bills or the administrative penalties imposed by judges. Both the Brennan Center for Justice, BrennanCenter.org, and the ACLU have both issued reports on the rise of debt-related incarceration, noting that courts are administering more fees these days as a way to make up for budget shortfalls. So even if you get acquitted, you could get put in jail because you can't pay court costs. A little note of irony, as we've noted in the past, the Postal Service, again another crumbling government-run organization, they want to cut service, they want to cut their days, they want to get rid of Saturday. Postal workers' union ballots lost in mail. And it's not the Onion. Dying communities see salvation in new prisons. This from the Associated Press. Although rural communities have successfully lobbied for and built prisons for years, not many studies have been done on their economic impact. Some studies indicate slight economic gains for some prison towns, according to a Congressional Research Service report in April, with a link for you. Others that have become prison anchors might have not grown as fast as those without prisons. Florence, Colorado, where a federal prison complex went up in 1994, was once a major oil producer and gold smelting center, and now has some new businesses. New federal prisons have recently started hiring in West Virginia, which has seen a decline in coal jobs, and in an impoverished farming community in California. Others are also being built in Mississippi and Alabama. This is what it comes to. When your only growth industry, the only thing that employs people, is working to enslave people, or destroy people, or kill them, quickly or slowly, whether you're building weapons of war for the booming military-industrial complex, and of course they're connected intimately to the private military contractors that run prisons, for-profit prisons, this is what we're turning into. And it's starting to get really close to home, my friends. I do have posted up below this Econo Crash, Welfare, Debtors, Prisons, and Dying Communities post that, again, is linked to from the latest episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com. There's even more. PacAlertPress.com has their martial law alert, banking collapse scenarios for the fall and winter of 2010. And we'll just try and quickly break down their situation. We can't get fully into it. As the price of gold reaches new heights over $1,300 per ounce and counting, and silver climbs to over $23 per ounce, the financial situation in America is dire, to say the least. If another major terror attack, such as 9/11, occurs, Trends forecaster Gerald Celente has stated that the event would bring the banking system to a complete halt, which would then result in a bank holiday. Celente's not alone. For every year, many others have warned of an upcoming bank holiday, and with our economy already in freefall, it wouldn't take much of a national and or worldwide terror event to completely crash our fiat dollar-based system in a very short period of time. Upon the crash of the dollar, more bank holidays could be declared and oppressive emergency banking powers could go into effect. See the Emergency Banking Act of 1933. These include severely limiting consumer withdrawals and a recall of physical gold holdings. Taking Presidential Decision Directive 51 into account, PDD 51, even a major stock market crash could trigger this scenario. And again, once PDD 51 is invoked, then martial law could be fully implemented. And another way the collapse of the banking system could lead to a martial law scenario is, of course, through cyber attacks. The I-9-11 we have warned about for so long now on this show. I'm not the best person to tell you what to do or to tell you how to get prepared, because I'm not as prepared. I'll tell you that right now. But we should all get to work, to say the very least. Tight budgets lead to more civilians used for policing. That's from USA Today. As we've noted time and time again, so many of these developments seem like a dystopic 70s sci-fi flick now come to life. We'll all be jammed into compact cities. There'll be massive growing swarms of homeless people. Sometimes they're zombies. And if you're lucky enough to have a job, you'll be a corrupt little crony working for the enforcement arm of whatever boss hog NWO minion happens to run your subdivision sector. So it's even higher than I just mentioned in that PacAlert Press article. Gold hits new record high. It's now at $1,388. That's $1,388 an ounce. ZeroHedge.com asks you to meet Danielle and Jim plus nine, the squatters who reclaimed their foreclosed home last weekend. As we've noted, we hope people take over the malls and the golf courses and all of that. And those could sort of be the positives in a bad, overall bad situation. Obama will not ban home repossessions fraud. More on that from the BBC. Tarpley.net has advice to desperate Democrats. Ignore Wall Street puppet Obama and demand a five-year freeze on foreclosures. Period. And we'll close this out with Foreclosure Gate. Officials in all 50 states have launched Foreclosure Gate investigations.
Uncertainty surrounding the legality of many foreclosure proceedings is getting even deeper. Officials in 50 states and the District of Columbia have launched a joint investigation and allegations the mortgage companies improperly foreclosed on hundreds of thousands of homeowners.
Well, we've got a mess right now. The banks have been arrogant about this. They have not paid attention to the state laws. Kind of going on their own way, when they wanted, where they wanted, and they're going to have to come into compliance.
The probe, which will also include bank regulators, will examine whether mortgage company employees made false statements or prepared documents improperly. Whatever the cause, it's leading to much confusion for many homeowners. Paula Dauberstein of Lee County, Florida, didn't even know that her property was in foreclosure. She was looking into a loan modification when she found out papers had already been filed.
And I said, I don't have any. He said, what do you mean you should have them? I said, I never received them. He said, you got to go to courthouse and get them. So I went to courthouse, like a 22-page document. I'd never received it. And come to find out, Carver & Associates did some backtracking, and it was It was said that they tried to serve me 3 or 4 times at the house. I wasn't home. I'm home. I'm here every night. I mean, I don't go anywhere.
The allegations raise the possibility that foreclosure proceedings across the country could be subject to legal challenge. Some foreclosures, like one affecting Jeffrey Miller of Rock Hill, New York, could even be overturned.
The more blogs that I've read and the more information I gathered, I realized that the bank that was suing me did not have the authority or the documentation to sue me.
Some proceedings have already been halted. Ally Financial, Bank of America, and JP Morgan Chase are now reviewing their documents. But other banks, including Citigroup and Wells Fargo, have not stopped, saying they have done nothing wrong.
Now, did you catch where he said he had been getting his news and doing his research? Did he say it was Fox and CNN and MSNBC? Oh, no, that's right. He said it was from alternative media. The only place he could really find out what the hell's going on and get any kind of context or research. And there you go. So, banksters illegally foreclose on your home. And again, we're just touching the tip of the foreclosure gate iceberg. And this gets into things called robo-signing and MERS and all kinds of not complicated things, but a bit too much minutia to get into right here. But of course, you should know it's bad. Banksters knowingly screwed you. That's essentially what it always comes down to, doesn't it? So when you're screwed out of your home, then you're on the dole if you weren't already. So, you know, if you don't have a home, you may as well go mill around Walmart while you're waiting for the electronic dole to go through, if it goes through, fortunately, because, you know, there have been all that talk about people's credits being turned off and they were unable to, you know, to buy anything. So when you're screwed out of your home and then you can't even get your cheap Chinese-made genetically modified garbage from Slave Mart, come on down to Portland, Oregon, my friends, because my county that I'm sitting in right now, Multnomah County, it contains the city of Portland, so it's, of course, the most populous county in the state. Oregon County decriminalizes heroin, meth, coke, shoplifting, and more. Stephen Webster, writing for Raw Story, fortunately brings us this story. It's crunch time for many municipalities across the United States, but for one county in Oregon, that means a little more than in most. The district attorney in Multnomah County, the state's most populous area with over 710,000 residents, announced recently that it can no longer prosecute dozens of crimes thanks to an ever-shrinking budget. Caught with small amounts of heroin, coke, or meth? It's a ticket. So's a hit-and-run accident. Small-time shoplifting? You'll still probably get arrested, but it's still just a violation. For these and other lesser crimes, the DA will simply refuse to prosecute. Still, police have been directed to continue operating as normal, making arrests as they see fit, and it'll be up to the county's attorneys to decide what gets prosecuted. So, their business as usual. That means they will continue to shoot unarmed, mentally deficient people who should be getting help, and the scourge of unarmed black men. That's my sidebar. In spite of the relaxed penalties for numerous crimes, chances are the drunk driver who recently rear-ended the county sheriff will see the business end of a judge's gavel, but it might take a while. Shrunk staff was recently shrunk by 27%, according to statements provided in a media advisory. In a perfect world, you commit a crime, you'd be prosecuted for what it is, District Attorney Mike Shrunk told the Oregonian. We don't have unlimited funds. That's Mike Shrunk, S-C-H-R-U-N-K. Other crimes which the county will adjust to violation level include trespassing on non-commercial property. That means you can rob your neighbors, but don't rob the corporations, which is, of course, what they want. Theft or forgery in the second degree, harassment, interfering with a police officer, interfering with public transportation, as I noted on NewWorldNextWeek.com, may become more common as the TriMet system gets worse and worse and worse. Raising fees, cutting service, paying more for less, and there are face-offs beginning. I can attest to that personally. Resisting arrest and criminal mischief in the second degree, the DA's full memo is available with the link for you. And we note, in spite of this budgetary mess, Multnomah County is one of only a few in the nation that is piloting a program that affixes GPS tracking bracelets to youths convicted of gang-related crimes, a practice, of course, widely criticized by civil rights groups. But, of course, when your community has been destroyed systematically by the banksters, what are you going to do besides rob and turn to gangs? Portlandia Crime Haven. Now, as I said, we go over that on the latest NewWorldNextWeek.com. And at my silly insistence, I got James Corbett to include in the title of the video that's up on YouTube.com/CorbettReport, Portlandia Crime Haven. Trying to, again, hijack the media memes for our own better use, much like Richard Grove did earlier this year when he released 2020 Hindsight. We put it out with the sort of newsy headline of Wall Street Whistleblower Proves Money Never Sleeps. Money Never Sleeps being the subtitle to the then months away Wall Street 2 sequel, which of course, now that we speak on October 15th, 2010, it is now stinking up theaters nationwide. Portlandia is the show, or is the title of a show coming very soon from Fred Armisen of SNL, and it's going to have a bunch of guest stars, but it also stars Slater Kinney, Carrie Brownstein, who I've met in my workplace, in addition to other indie rock luminaries that, of course, haunt Portland, Oregon. So they have a show coming out called Portlandia. It's going to run on IFC coming up, I think, in January. So again, if we can use that name Portlandia, hopefully getting people to come to the alternative media. Oy vey, my friends. That's a lot. We still have a ways to go. Allow me to lean back in my chair for just a moment. Let's see. I can mention a couple other things on my notepad. I discovered that the one and only Obamasiah will be coming to Portland, Oregon this coming Wednesday, October 20th, to stump for Kitzhaber, who is our Democratic gubernatorial candidate, as we have the selections coming up in just a few short weeks, my friends. So the Obamasiah is coming to Portland. He, of course, as I've joked lately, doesn't really have to come here all that much because, of course, he has a lot of well-meaning wannabe progressives in his pocket. Because he has a D after his name, and they've never grown the balls enough to actually vote with their heart. So he's going to be here, so I don't know what kind of protesty kind of action there will be. They, at least according to the one bit that I have from a week ago from the Oregonian, said at that point they hadn't decided whether it was going to be a, you know, private or public or some mix of the two type event. But we know, of course, he's going to show up. He's going to be right downtown. You know, they're going to do the private money taking, probably in addition to some type of public rally. I guess we'll have to see. Maybe the Pacific Northwest weather can come in handy and we can rain all over the Obamasiah's phony progressive parade. But having said all that, my friends, we've now made it through all the alternative news, the cyber news, the food news, and the Econo Crash news, and the Portlandia crime haven decriminalized news. This brings us to the news purge. We named it Become the Enemy. That's the title of our song that kicked it off. That's where our opening quote came from as well, Become the Enemy, from the Lemonheads. And we do have interesting Lemonheads news. But you know what? You know what we're going to do? Before we get into the news purge, because again, I think we're doing all right on time. I came flying out of the gate and blew through all that really quickly. Take a breath. We're going to get into massive media and memes in this news purge, where there's a lot of unbelievable things going on. One of the things that isn't mentioned in there, but I thought was noteworthy enough, because oh, how the time flies, my friends. It's pretty much been 10 years ago since Radiohead put out Kid A, if you can believe it, that polarizing album that marked that shift, that marked that just coming into the new millennium. It was pre-9/11, but Bush had already stolen the election, and it was dark, and it was very timely. So we're going to listen to a song from 10 years ago, Kid A. It's Radiohead with, appropriately enough, In Limbo. There you have it, my friends. Ooh. In Limbo, 10 years ago, Kid A, Radiohead. And it still seems as though we are in a state of limbo. But I want to tell you right now, we're into hour number two of this 190th episode from Media Monarchy. My name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. broadcasting live from the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org, as well as zeropointradio.com and revereradio.net. And we are streaming live video on ustream.tv/mediamonarchy-com, I believe. But I take all the videos and put them over to YouTube and also upload them to archive. Again, building out the redundancy. Any number of ways to get this massive blast of alternative news and open source intelligence. So as I said before the In Limbo break, we've now made it to the 1014 News Purge, Become the Enemy, named for our opening song from the Lemonheads. And appropriately enough, as we begin alphabetically with our 9/11 updates, we start with a piece from New York Magazine, nymag.com. In their article, 171 Minutes with Evan Dando and Juliana Hatfield. Within this article, as they're hanging around their apartment in New York, Dando uses both hands to pick up his piece of the World Trade Center. "Open the window," he commands. "The towers were right there. That morning really fucked me up. The second plane was so close it went shroom right over my head." He pauses and absentmindedly pats the pack of Marlboro Lights in his shirt pocket. "Because I was so close, I know what really happened," he says. "I shouldn't get into it because I'm not a political person, but they were blown up by bombs. They were not taken out by those airplanes. Those fires were going out, and then the buildings blew up. What I saw and heard that day was a crime, and not by the people they're saying. That's all I'll say." He pauses and says, "I'm worried about our country, but then again, I've been worried about America my entire life." The Lemonheads, Evan Dando, says World Trade Center blown up by bombs. Add another notch to the massive voice, the chorus calling for real 9/11 investigations. Posted up with this story at the top of the News Purge, Become the Enemy. I went ahead and put up my photo of myself with Evan Dando when he was in town last year with the Lemonheads. So you got the two Evans there. I thought that was a good photo to go along with it. And hell, when they come back through town, now we've definitely got something to talk about other than, "Hey man, I'm a big fan, will you sign this?" But let's get through our other related 9/11 updates. As it seems, more and more each week, continuation and updates as stories keep spilling and their legs keep growing, fortunately. But former Alaskan Senator Mike Gravel, spearheading a California 9/11 Truth Commission initiative, more on that, of course, from 911blogger.com. As well, they note that MediaMatters.org, of course, that foundation-funded watchdog of media, putting up a cry that Fox News' Judge Napolitano has, of course, essentially joined forces with 9/11 truther Alex Jones. We can also get into Project Censored, as our own alternative weekly, The Willamette Week, covered the latest 2010 Project Censored stories. We know that internally within Project Censored, there's a big problem. And it's number 14 on this list from 911blogger.com. I'm not exactly sure how it breaks down that it's included in this list, but not in another. Maybe it's just not in the top 10. Increased tensions with unresolved 9/11 issues. They get into, of course, the 1,000-plus architects and engineers calling for a new 9/11 investigation. They cite it from Global Research and AE911Truth.org, Examiner.com, as well as other press releases. Daniel Tenser's report on Raw Story about, of course, Cass Sunstein, "Obama staffer wants cognitive infiltration of 9/11 conspiracy groups." The Daily Mail writing about Osama bin Laden being dead for 7 years, and the U.S. and the U.K. continuing to cover it up to continue the war of terror. Increased tensions with unresolved 9/11 issues. I think you'll notice 9/11 Truth hasn't gone away. is not going to go away. Even my conversation with Barbara Peterson of FarmWars.info that I just published overnight, you can get it from the feeds. She cited 9/11 as her awakening. It's the catalyzing catastrophic event that's just too big and too stinky and too suspicious to go away and to leave alone. It's not the only thing we're going to focus on. There's no way. Again, if you're losing your house, you won't have any place to store your 9/11 was an inside job sign. But it's the blank check, and you know it. But as I reference the continuing updates, as we give the caveat around this story that for something the Pentagon wanted to cover up, it sure does get a lot of coverage from all the corporate media outlets. But the aforementioned Judge Napolitano had back on Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer, connected to Able Danger, identified Muhammad Atta pre-9/11. His book recently, Operation Darkheart, had its first 10,000 copies bought and burned by the Pentagon. Here he is again on Napolitano discussing the 9/11 cover-up.
Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer was with us last week to talk about his book, Operation Dark Heart, which alleges shocking errors in the conduct of American intelligence operations. Now the colonel is going even further, alleging a cover-up at the highest levels of our government surrounding 9/11. Colonel Anthony Schaefer joins me now. Colonel, welcome back.
Thank you, sir. Just
to set the picture, you are career military, now retired. You were in charge of a group of military intelligence officials overseas called Able Danger. Part of their responsibility was to find out who knew what, when, where the bad guys were, where the Taliban was, where Al-Qaeda was. At some point after 9/11, you met with the director of the 9/11 Commission. Who was he? Where did you meet and what did he say to you?
I was actually working at Bagram Air Force Base as undercover, working as part of the project in the book, Operation Dark Heart. I met Dr. Philip Zelikow in mid-October of 2003.
Okay.
During that session, I disclosed the existence of Able Danger plus another operation which related to Able Danger directly, which was going to be the real mission for my unit to go in and do some things to the Al-Qaeda threat.
Okay. Philip Zelikow, Dr. Zelikow, now a professor at the University of Virginia at the time, was the staff director for the 9/11 Commission,
right?
We are after 9/11 in the story you're telling me.
Right.
Zelikow and his team are in Iraq interrogating you and others about what you knew, when you knew it, and whether you're going to tell this to the 9/11 Commission.
He was an Afghanistan judge.
Okay, Afghanistan.
A Bagram, and yes, he was.
Okay, go ahead.
And the idea was that they were on this fact-finding mission trying to figure out what intelligence was available to help fill in the missing gaps relating to the failures before 9/11. I volunteered to my Army chain of command and said, they may already know about this. As a matter of fact, they probably do. But just in case they don't, here's a one-page summary of what I want to talk to them about, and I'd like to give them the background, Able Danger.
All right. You have given me a copy of that summary. You have given me a copy of your notes of your conversation with Professor Zelikow.
Yes.
And one of the things says, I'm quoting this directly, Colonel, CIA undermined sub-sources. What does that mean?
This is where we're in a gray area by the fact the Pentagon, I've testified to this fact, and now the Pentagon's pulled it back out, which you need to ask, why would the Pentagon pull something out which is now 10 years old, which was actually my original testimony.
What is it?
Well, the issue has to do with an asset that we were using for the actual spearhead of the Able Danger project.
When you say an asset, you mean a human being providing you information about the bad guys?
That's correct, yes,
okay,
sir.
Okay, what became of that human being?
Well, in this particular operation, one of the reasons I reported this to Dr. Zelikow as part of the Able Danger project, he was going to be used to do some what we call black operation support for this project. What happened was CIA protested his operational existence because they were at the time running a parallel operation called out of Alex Base. And because of that conflict, supposedly, CIA went to Congress and said, this guy's bad. He killed his wife.
They're not talking about you. They're talking about the asset. The person in Afghanistan.
Yeah, they used the excuse of that he supposedly killed his wife and ran drugs, which most people did.
Did this guy provide you and the Defense Intelligence Agency for which you worked, the Pentagon, with actionable information?
He was consistently doing that, yes.
He was consistently doing it. And the CIA wanted him neutralized because he was your asset and not theirs.
That's
is that fair?
That is correct.
There you go. Sometimes when the left hand finds out what the right hand's doing, they want to argue. That's what happens within the compartmentalization of the intelligence labyrinth, of course, brought to us by the National Security Act of 1947. It also gave us CIA, the NSA, came right around the time the OSS morphed into the CIA. We were bringing Nazis over as part of Project Paperclip. Of course, Israel became a state not long after that. And it's all connected, my friends. There you go. There's another bit of info to add to the Able Danger file. Our last note of 9/11 updates is a video update. We won't play the clip for you, but it is there. CBS says ground-level explosion caused World Trade Center to collapse on the morning of 9/11. This is another video brought to us by the amazing FOIA success of the International Center for 9/11 Studies. You can get most of the videos on youtube.com/IC911Studies. And again, we just add it to the list. Add it to the pile. We now move to our latest BioWars EnviroHealth updates, where CanadaFreePress.com notes it's climate science's worst week ever, and we'll jump to DigitalJournal.com for a little bit of an explanation on that. Scientist resigns from Physics Society, calls global warming a scam. The world has been bombarded by those arguing for and those arguing against the supposed facts in the case for global warming. Now, a top professor has resigned from the American Physical Society, calling global warming a scam. The Telegraph published his letter in full after it was made available to the public on October 8th. That entire text is available for you, but we'll just jump down to the pertinent part for you, where he says, "I am forced, with no pleasure at all, to offer you my resignation from the society. It is, of course, the global warming scam, with the literally trillions of dollars driving it, that has corrupted so many scientists, has carried APS before it like a rogue wave. It is the greatest and most successful pseudoscientific fraud I have seen in my long life as a physicist." And there you have it. Are we jacking up the environment? Yes, if by we, you mean the multinational corporations who have forced us to use their garbage, even though better, more efficient, more green technologies have always existed, be they electric cars or hemp. But we've all been geared into the phony global warming scam. And of course, even if you believe in man-made global warming, what is paying a carbon tax to Goldman Sachs and Jamie Dimon and the Rothschilds and Al Gore and the rest of them? What's that going to do? It's a new global tax. So there's more on Hal Lewis. This is the guy who resigned. Global warming, greatest and most successful pseudoscientific fraud. There's more on that from Cryptogon. There's more on that from the aforementioned Digital Journal. FloridaOilSpillLaw.com gets into the EPA saying Corexit is quote-unquote perfectly safe, and in a 10-minute video basically compares Corexit dispersant to a Klondike bar. I shouldn't have to remind you the EPA said the air was safe to breathe at Ground Zero mere days after 9/11. White House will lift ban on deep water drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. That's again from Digital Journal. Twins die moments after receiving a measles vaccination. More on that from Mercola.com. A fantastic one from Daily Mail. Cancer purely man-made, say scientists, after finding almost no trace in Egyptian mummies. And you should know that, again, the difference between these causes and effects, we like to throw money at effects and never look at the cause. Our last note in the BioWars EnviroHealth notes is an amazing piece that's available on beforeitsnews.com. They also host all the syndicated stories from the Media Monarchy Kingdom. Horror as man mutates into living tree. It wasn't witchcraft or a mad scientist that turned Didi Kosuara into a tree. It was biology. More than 20 years ago, Didi Kosuara, K-O-S-W-A-R-A, an Indonesian fisherman, cut his knee as a teenager. Soon thereafter, Didi noticed roots, a type of cutaneous wart-like growth, began to emerge from his arms and feet. As the roots grew, livid welts began to appear randomly all over his body. The welts were inflamed and painful if touched. The condition left Didi a semi-invalid. Unable to fish, Caswara took odd jobs and even agreed to, of course, appear as a paid sideshow freak. Because he desperately needed money, his wife abandoned him, calling him a monster. Poverty-stricken and a social pariah, Caswara thought more than once about ending it all. Fellow villagers derided him and treated him as an odd joke. Little kids threw rocks at him and dashed away screaming and laughing. Legions of doctors from across the Far East took time to study his affliction. A general consensus was reached that somehow warts had begun to grow abnormally, leading to Caswara's debilitating condition. Unfortunately, none knew how the warts had begun mutating, how the spread of the disease could be slowed, or how to stop it. American dermatologists to the rescue. And that's where we'll leave that story. You must check out the photos for yourself. They are unbelievable. As we see another strange story that seems right out of The Onion or the Weekly World News, as things become more bizarre as days go by. In a way, this reminds me of Morgellons. But let's keep moving down the news purge, my friends. We're to geopolitics. And in addition to the 1013 UFO psyop, that was the day the Chilean miners were finally rescued. Now, the first thing I'll say is that it is an amazing story, and everybody loves a developing soap opera they can tune into. So while I'm happy for them, it just also kind of makes me sad knowing that all the guys in my home state of West Virginia never seemed to be so lucky. But leave it to VigilantCitizen.com to break it down for you. Masonic imagery surrounds the 33 Chilean miners' rescue. Now, as this story was spilling out on 1013, I, of course, noticed immediately the 33. The rescue of the 33 unfortunate Chilean miners definitely turned into an international media event. All aspects of the rescue were carefully staged to make the entire thing a spectacular show, inspiring emotions, admiration, and national pride. But for those knowledgeable of Masonic and occult symbolism, it's hard not to ponder on the numerological and symbolic facts of the event, such as the number of miners, 33, great importance in Freemasonry and Kabbalistic system of numbers. Getting into the Masonic lore, the date of the event, of course, was 10-13-10, which, of course, adds up to 33. The Phoenix was the name of the device that they put down into the chamber, so that again and again, Phoenix rose from the ashes. The number of days it took to drill the hole, 33. The first note sent by the miners was 33 characters in length. And the symbolism of the event, to summarize the rescue event, 33 miners trapped for 69 days in the depths and darkness of the underground were lifted one by one on 10-13-10 into a device called Phoenix, a creature representative of occult initiation to the light of day. As they say, ex tenebris lux, from darkness to light. So, we have to ask, with these facts in mind, was the Chilean miners' rescue another Masonic mega ritual? These are the kind of stories that I do find fascinating, but I tend to tread lightly when it comes to MediaMonarchy.com. The media and the memes and the symbols, the semiotics, the semantics, all of it is fascinating in this media stew. However, people want to cast a hateful eye towards crazy conspiracy theorist blogs. So you don't want to turn people off. You don't want to give people an excuse to poke fun at you. I've had people say, oh, you got that crazy Clyde Lewis alien shit on your website. You're discrediting yourself. But not because someone said that. But I think, as I've said before, if I can't get folks to realize that our money is fake and our food is poison, hitting you with crazy Masonic imagery and Kabbalistic number systems may not do it. Fascinating, nonetheless, my friends, another great piece from VigilantCitizen.com. John Pilger has a piece posted up on GlobalResearch.ca about Chile's ghosts not being rescued. Unbelievably, and again, we're into geopolitics, so we're flying around the world. Israeli cabinet approves loyalty oath for new citizens as the corrupt nation of Israel starts to act more and more like their famed historic nemesis, the Nazis. You can get more on that from CNN. An interesting video sent by a listener. It's a whistleblower statement on Saakashvili and Georgia-connected black ops. That video is there for you to check out and do some research on the gentleman's name that he's referring to running black ops as part of Saakashvili's regime. Of course, the proxy state the U.S. used to attack their mortal enemy, the Soviets. But let's hop over to Greece very quickly and shortly, where the police used tear gas to clear workers from a protest in the Acropolis.
Stocks are pointing to a flat open today on persistent worries about whether a Greek debt crisis will now spread across Europe. Simon Constable, host of the News Hub web show on WallStreetJournal.com, joins me now with more on the markets and the rest of the day's business news. Hello, Simon.
Hi, Mike.
All right, so what is the latest from Greece and where their debt crisis is now turning deadly, in fact, right?
Yeah, it's a horrible situation. Three people died yesterday caused by fires. There was an awful picture on the front of a newspaper of a policeman engulfed in flames. I think that policeman ended up being okay, but three other people died on this. And it's all to do with the austerity measures that the Greek government is trying to impose on Greece so that it can get its fiscal state back in order. And the worry is, of course, not so much Greece, is that this spreads out throughout the rest of the Eurozone, or Euroland, as I like to call it.
Why are investors here so concerned with what happens in Greece and in Spain and even Portugal?
Yeah, the so-called pigs, Portugal, Italy, Ireland, Greece and Spain, they're all sort of fiscally unbalanced at the moment. The big worry is it's really twofold. One is Europe is a very important trading bloc with the U.S. And if Europe sort of implodes economically, that would be bad for the U.S., it would be bad for U.S. exports. The other thing that's pretty bad is that investors have bought some of this Greek debt and Spanish debt and all that sort of stuff. And even if it isn't held by U.S. banks, U.S. banks might hold shares or debt of other banks that hold this. And we learned from Lehman Brothers that the financial system is very interconnected. So something that happens in Greece has a very quick route to affecting New York and then the whole of the U.S. And it could be a repeat, is the worry. It could be a repeat of the Lehman Brothers situation where financial markets just froze up and you couldn't borrow anything.
Ah, that kind of sounds like the frozen banking holiday that could result very quickly here in the States, as again, the panic will spread worldwide. Our last geopolitical note also contains, of course, the controlled demolition, the new financial world order. Put quite simply, Tarpley.net notes that there is a currency war.
So, Webster, I know you have a lot of opinions on the currency wars, as I guess we could call them, but it seems like, you know, American political leaders are so quick to point their fingers at China for all of the United States' economic problems. Why is that?
I think the basic thing is that there's a wave of protectionism mounting in the 187 countries of the IMF as they come together here this week. Protectionism in the form of managing your own currency, but also managing your own currency using capital controls and exchange controls, and things that violate the tenets of the Washington Consensus, which is globalization, floating rates, and the absolute supremacy of speculation and hot money across the world. Now, the currency wars are not new. The U.S. and the British, for the past 12 months, have been trying to destroy the euro. They've failed. They've also been trying to drive the Chinese currency up so that the Chinese would have to shut down their export factories, create chaos socially, politically inside China, and maybe stage a color revolution against Beijing. That's also not working. The currency war has been going on. Now, other people are beginning to fight back. And the way that this is happening is, as the US dollar goes down, which it's been doing now again for the last couple of months, China goes with it. China has not decoupled from the US dollar. As a matter of fact, they've got a grip on the US dollar. So as the dollar goes down, China follows. Now that puts the pressure on Japan, Korea, and others. And September 15th, the Japanese surprised everybody in the world by doing a unilateral intervention to keep the yen down so that they wouldn't be pricing themselves out of the world market. And the big question is now, who's going to follow? The Brazilian finance minister, Manteiga, said there's a currency war. The Brazilians are fighting the speculators with a 4% tax on people who come in and buy bonds. And it's thought that Thailand may soon take the lead in imposing actual capital controls, exchange controls. We should look back to the Asian contagion crisis of about 10 years ago. The country that fared best was Malaysia under Mahathir Mohamad. And the way they did that was capital controls, exchange controls. Now, when Strauss-Kahn of the IMF or Zolik of the World Bank look at those measures, they see the death knell to this globalized floating rate hot money system. That's why they're screaming catastrophe, beggar my neighbor, the end of the world, and all this other
stuff. I was just about to ask, you know, this must be something that the International Monetary Fund is concerned with. And we've talked so much on RT today about how these developing countries are kind of gaining ground, as you mentioned, China, India, Brazil. But when it comes to the IMF, it seems like they don't have a lot of power. How can that be?
Well, it's because the U.S. Has the controlling share, right? 17% of the stock is owned by the U.S., and that's the votes, and along with some others, some Europeans, the British, and so forth, the U.S. manages to dominate. But I don't think anymore. The BRIC countries, as you mentioned, is a center of resistance to this diktat of the U.S. But the big thing is you're dealing with a system. You're not just dealing with the U.S. You've got globalization as a system. What are you going to do about it? One thing is fight those speculative flows. You can see George Soros is very worried about that in his editorial in the Financial Times. But the other thing is floating rates themselves are bad. They don't work. Under Bretton Woods, up until 1971, things were better. Why not go back to that? Why not take the peg of the Chinese to the U.S. as an island of stability, and other people could also relate to that? You could restore a system of fixed parities so that you'd have some certainty what the values of currency would be looking down the road. And again, the U.S. is the biggest enemy of this, and the British along with them. But for other countries, it would be beneficial. In other words, if you want to be like China, do what the Chinese do. What do? They block capital flows into China. They're very strict on capital controls coming into China. You can't just go and speculate in China. And they make sure that they know what their currency is going to be worth 6-12 months down the road by keeping it pegged. Why not imitate that? The U.S. would be very wise to imitate that instead of the current bankrupt system that we have.
So is this the beginning of a new era? It seems like for the longest time, whenever the United States economy was down, everyone assumed that that's going to be the end of the world economy, or it's going to have this ripple effect. But it seems like these days with the countries that we're talking about, they're doing more business and trade with each other and saying, forget the U.S., we can circumvent the U.S. So is this the beginning of a new time?
Well, again, China does the opposite. China keeps their currency in an exact relation to the dollar, and that's in some ways the secret of their success. I think it's better to look at it as a problem of the system. In other words, what we would need is a world monetary conference, a new Bretton Woods, but not as a slogan, as a new Bretton Woods in fact, so that you could restore this element of stability in the entire thing. And again, Geithner doesn't want that. The people at the IMF are against that. The Canadian finance minister going into this meeting said that the goal of really the U.S. and the Europeans, the NATO bloc, so to speak, is to reassert free trade at all costs. Well, no, that's not what we need. We've had enough of free trade. When the people in the market say, if you have capital controls, you'll have a world depression. Well, we already have a world depression, and the way out would be capital controls, and then beyond that, fixed parities, and then other forms of cooperation instead of this Wild West stuff that we've had so far.
So when you look at these meetings with the IMF and the World Bank, I mean, are these institutions pretty much obsolete, would you say?
Yeah, the International Monetary Fund is a failure. And again, if you think we have probably 3 billion people and more in the world who are living on less than $2 a day, you have to say globalization is a failure. Let's end it. Let's end this system. And above all, end the primacy and the sacred quality of international speculative hot money flow, the kind of stuff that Soros and the asset strippers and the hedge fund hyenas have been purveying. Put a stop to that and get back to actual orderly economic relations. And the developing countries would benefit from that too.
Yeah, very interesting as always. Webster Tarpley, investigative journalist.
So there you have the latest geopolitical updates from Tarpley.net. But we now move into holy hexes. As I recently had to add another category to all the bizarre occult religious news going on, getting it mainly from a couple of mainline sources, but through their religious feed. So on CNN, it's called Belief Blog. I think Reuters calls theirs Faith World. But here we have on Belief Blog, Rabbi Eckstein on why evangelical Christians give millions to Israel, and there's a video for it. We don't have time, but let's take the quote from him, and this may break it down for folks who sometimes don't get it. God promises Abraham, those who bless Israel and the Jewish people will be blessed, and those who curse them will be cursed, he says, citing the book of Genesis. But it's not only that religious commandment that is motivating this very large segment of American society. Evangelicals see the creation of Israel in 1948 as the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. That's why, in the last 12 months alone, evangelical Christians in the U.S. have given over $100 million to charitable causes in Israel. The other note from Belief Blog in our Holy Hex updates. Can you believe in Bigfoot and the Bible? That's one of the questions that aroused the curiosity of three sociologists who wanted to examine the religious values of believers in the paranormal. In their book, Paranormal America, Ghost Encounters, UFO Sightings, Bigfoot Hunts, and Other Curiosities in Religion and Culture, the authors asked if religious people are more prone to believe in the paranormal. This fits perfectly with what we've talked about, what we just covered on Cyberspace War, the alien prep. This Project Blue Beam, fake rapture, fake War of the Worlds, Orson Welles, Princeton event. Staged. Is that what we saw in 1013? Is that everything the controlled corporate media and all their related complexes are pushing? Setting the stage for the death of your God, who hasn't done anything or shown up anytime recently, nobody believes anymore. We need a new event that the world can unite around. And of course, now they're even overlaying the global warming scam to the alien agenda. Just bizarre, bizarre things that, again, as I was talking about folks saying, why do you talk about the alien stuff? I can't not talk about the alien stuff now. It's so fucking apparent. Let's get into the amazing list of media memes, and we'll return to another one from VigilantCitizen.com asking if Willow Smith will be the next Illuminati star. Willow Smith, of course, being the offspring of the Scientology-connected Will Smith. A lot of amazing photos. They're basically grooming him under Jay-Z, Rihanna, and all of these other artists, whose music and imagery and videos and everything they do seems surrounded by occult symbolism. An interesting one from henrymeko.com. Rock Rebels The Clash as corporate puppets. Now, this gets into an interview with a guy, what's his name? Vince White. He was one of the fill-in guys who came in towards the end when they put out their Cut the Crap album. That some note should be called Full of Crap. While this is interesting because of the poll quote, I believe there's an agenda at work in the system in which we live, which will always say, you do this or we won't support you. So that comment was like, oh good, here's a dude from a major rock band who saw it from the inside and who's calling bullshit. But when you get into the interview, let's just pull from, you know, quote, and I'm not fucking joking, and let me just say, I don't like the Chinese. I don't like their fat, ugly faces. I wish they'd fucking fuck off. But he goes on to talk about the New World Order, open-door policy, globalism, all of those things. So, I always throw out, and again, I don't think longtime listeners would ever kind of make this mistake. Just because I add a link to something doesn't mean I endorse it wholeheartedly. I'm trying to give you a good spectrum of things. But as this case illustrates, the headline can be deceptive. It could be something you go, hey, yeah, and then you look, oh. Shark-infested waters, indeed. Two of the hosts walked off of The View over Bill O'Reilly's Islamic Center comments. That got a lot of press. of course, not even approaching when they were actually discussing hardcore issues such as 9/11 truth. That gave them their biggest media boost. Now everything else kind of pales in comparison. Oh my god, Bill O'Reilly said something dumb. Obama administration gave General Electric and NBC $24.9 million in stimulus grants. More on that from CNSNews.com. Die Hard director John McTiernan sentenced to a year in prison. We've covered this story way back in the past. The flashback goes back to April of 2008. But just a few days ago, and again we take it from New York Magazine, filmmaker John McTiernan, Die Hard, Hunt for Red October, was sentenced to a year in prison for lying to authorities about his involvement in the Anthony Pelicano wiretapping scandal, which will put a crimp in his plans to direct the next action thriller, Shrapnel. The conviction stems from a 2002 incident where McTiernan hired notorious private investigator Pelicano to wiretap producer Charles Rosen during Nick Tiernan's remake of Rollerball. The director then lied about the illegal activity during a 2006 FBI investigation. The bizarre connection, this ties to Aaron Russo, the late, great Aaron Russo, producer of films like Trading Places and The Rose, arm wrestling championship inventor, and in his last remaining years, woke up hardcore, spoke out against this beast system, New World Order agenda, fascist corporate takeover, call it what you want. He was connected to Rockefellers. They told him what was coming down. You're going to get a card. It'll be basically your chip. If you're one of us, you're good. Tied in with McTiernan and Pelicano and Rosen and all of this Hollywood gangster garbage, they were going to kill Aaron Russo. Now, I'm not sure if John McTiernan also directed any of the Die Hard sequels. Of course, Die Hard with a Vengeance sure has an amazing story that seems to mirror the events of 9/11, but we don't have time to get into that. Washington Times reporting, soul music pioneer Solomon Burke has died at the age of 70. And a bunch of other amazing, entertaining, bizarre media memes. Daily Mail reporting on Carrie Fisher's drug shame. I did coke on the set of Empire Strikes Back. That's right, Princess Leia did coke on the ice planet of Hoth. The snow. Yes. Now, this next one I only included just because I was always such a huge Back to the Future fan. They're putting out the big Blu-ray edition, and finally, on this, showing footage after, because this is the 25th anniversary, finally showing footage of Eric Stoltz as the original Marty McFly, finally seeing the light of day. There is a clip along with this Yahoo story that, again, was kind of amazing to see. I've known that story for a long, long time, but they never let any of it out. Gorillaz says no to Glee before the show even asks. The fantastic Damon Albarn of Blur and The Good, the Bad, and the Queen and Deltron 3030 and Lovage and Gorillaz basically calls out the show for the vapid pop covers that won't matter. Our last media meme note. When my girlfriend and I watched the episode Sunday night, as I have for 22 years. It originally was Thursday, but it's been Sunday for the longest time now. When I watched the new episode of The Simpsons, the opening couch gag made our jaws drop.
He's renowned for leaving his mark almost everywhere he goes, but now the graffiti artist Banksy has left his mark on the intro of The Simpsons. Not only is his tag sprayed on various walls in Springfield, at the end there's also a rather dark minute-long sequence involving sweatshop workers. The whole thing's caused a bit of controversy too, because Banksy's intro was apparently inspired by reports the show now outsources most of its animation to a company in South Korea. This particular episode of The Simpsons, called Money Bart, will air in the UK on October the 21st.
Rows of workers are seen in a warehouse producing animation for the show and making merchandise. Kittens are shown being thrown into a wood chipper to produce stuffing for Bart Simpson dolls. A panda is used to haul wagon loads of the dolls, while a decapitated dolphin head is used to seal the boxes, and a chained-up unicorn comes in handy for punching holes in the center of DVDs. Now, they mention this came from these reports that they outsourced the animation. All you got to do is listen to any of the commentary on any of the DVDs, and they'll tell you they outsource it all to Korea. Fascinating, fascinating, and again, it's one of my favorite shows. I've loved it ever since it's been on. But as you get older, you start to realize maybe its importance or maybe its lack of importance as things slowly morph and change, and you can see the bizarre sort of New World Order overlay storylines in The Simpsons. I've been wanting for a long time to make a Simpsons YouTube clip going into just all of the amazing storylines and connections, whether it's the episode about running urban warfare drills, or of course the movie is replete. Biometric eye scans and false flag terror and man-made environmental disasters, but we gotta keep moving. Murder and mayhem. Department of Justice lawyer was found hanging in his basement. I believe his name is Nicholas Marsh. Another suspicious death. Swedish man used webcam to broadcast his suicide live on the internet. That's from Wikinews. And gunman has been identified in the San Diego area's Carlsbad school shooting.
It happened during recess as children played in this field when police say this man, Brendan O'Rourke, jumped the fence, armed with a .357 Magnum. Witnesses say he began spraying the area with bullets as he carried matches and a gas can.
And he was just shooting at kids, and at least 5 shots went off.
Shooting randomly into the crowd of children. I immediately screamed, no, no.
Witnesses say O'Rourke emptied his gun as children scattered to safety. 2 female students, ages 6 and 7, were struck, but not fatally. It was then 3 construction workers at the school took action on the shooter. 2 of them chased him on foot, and another drove a truck.
And I just hit him with my truck.
The 2 workers on foot grabbed O'Rourke, who was allegedly trying to reload his gun. 2 neighbors also held him down.
His pockets were full of reloaded .357 ammunition for a revolver. The guy came to do destruction.
Moments later, officers took O'Rourke into custody. Investigators found a propane tank outside his car, which was parked near Kelly Elementary. Witnesses say O'Rourke seemed dazed and disoriented. They also say it is a miracle no one was killed.
The 2 real heroes are the guys who approached him in the field with a weapon. These guys are the true heroes, and that's who I helped.
There are all your ridiculous murder and mayhem updates, the mass murder contagion. We're moving down the news purge. We got to speed it up now. We're on to Obamasiya updates. Bandit Obama billboard sparks storm in U.S. city. You can see a little bit of this billboard. It says vote Democrat, rat being big, join the game. And it's got caricatures of Obama as an Islamic terrorist, a gangster, a greasy bandito, and what looks to be a flamboyant homosexual. Surprise, surprise, Obama's related to Sarah Palin. This from the Associated Press, and of course we just add it to the list. They're all related to each other. That's how the game is played. Inbred elites think they're better than us, and they've positioned themselves to run and ruin our lives. Wall Street cash flow imperils Democrats. That's from Politico. As again, folks, we're heating up to a heated selection season. Which fake side will you choose? Phony progressives or fake conservatives? And we're also getting to the big dog and pony show of the fake left frontmen clowns. Internal emails, however, revealing MTV has been pressuring their employees to attend the upcoming Jon Stewart rally. Jesse Ventura's new season of his show Conspiracy Theory is now running. Raw story covering him noting U.S. should abolish inherently corrupt political parties. GOP candidate in Ohio likes to dress up like a Nazi. Surprise, surprise. That's from MarkCrispinMiller.com. Supreme Court won't review president's right to eject critics from event. That's from Threat Level. And this source is back to folks trying to, you know, have a bumper sticker on their car that says no more blood for oil, not even being allowed to go near a Bush event. We noted it last week because it was breaking news. Here's more to flesh out this story from Politico and AllGov and Washington Post. Jim Jones to step down as National Security Advisor. Goodbye to James Revolving Door Jones and the guy who's replacing him. His last name's Donilon. And of course, his resume contains policy, law, Fannie Mae, Goldman Sachs. More on that from newmediajournal.us. A frail-looking Darth Cheney has been wheeled about by his wife, Lynn, hawking an upcoming book, of course, making comments on 9/11. And our last note on the Obamasiah, as we noted earlier, oh, Hosanna, the Obamasiah is coming to town next Wednesday, October 20th, to Portland, Oregon. I have it on quite good authority. He will be appearing at the Oregon Convention Center, and hopefully there will be some good protests. And not of the fake left-right paradigm style. We quickly move now to police state updates. And if we had more time, but now we're running out of it and I can't even go into it. Douglas Coupland, of course, the author and coiner of the term Generation X. TheGlobeAndMail.com gets into his pessimistic guide to the next 10 years. It's a list of, I believe, 45, and I did want to make time for this. You have to check it out yourself. But what goes right along with that, Americans see children's future dim in poll as 50% pessimistic. The SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and the DHS, the Department of Homeland Stupidity, and community officials team up to, of course, attack patriot groups, and you can get the PDFs showing it and proving it. U.S. troops to deal with rioting Americans. Like when you lose your house, when banksters cheat you out of it, you might get a little mad. They'll call you a terrorist. We noted last week, Operation Rail Safe, running drills on Amtrak routes. More from CBS Local, more from InfoWars on their drills to prep for a coming Mumbai-style attack. Meanwhile, police look for a link between C4 explosives in a Manhattan cemetery and a bizarre note found nearby. New York Daily News, of course. Michio Kaku. I believe we've noted him in recent months talking about, of course, there are aliens, and of course, we probably don't want to meet them, much like Stephen Hawking was saying. Furthermore, from DeadlineLive.info, he also notes that anybody who opposes the New World Order system are basically terrorists. Eye in the sky now peeking into your backyard. That's from notalemming.wordpress.com. Of course, getting into the blimps that can stay afloat forever. Not to mention the autonomous fleet of Google vehicles driving around spying on all of us. National Guard adds Homeland Response Force to fight bioterror. More on that from bioprepwatch.com. And of course, in an amazing editorial from the paper itself, New York Times defends the right of the U.S. government to assassinate anyone it pleases, essentially, noting the drone war. This war in basically everything but name against Pakistan, where, as we've noted, teenage boys raised on video games and Mountain Dew are killing little brown people thousands of miles away at the push of a button and don't really give a shit. But don't call it a war. But let's call it war horrors. Aid worker Linda Norgrove killed by U.S. troops. We have reports from The Guardian, from Red Ice Creations that get into this story. The killing of a British aid worker by the U.S. military. Obama offers condolences over Linda Norgrove's death. I'm sure it was an accident. Just as it was an accident that Pat Tillman was killed. Just as it was an accident that a bulldozer ran over Rachel Corrie. Just collateral damage in the ever-growing, ever-expanding, ever-flailing war of terror. But there's no wonder any of this is really happening. Now we have Petraeus running the Afghan surge in Afghan-Iraq. Petraeus launches Afghan air assault and strikes are up 172%. Raw story, fortunately noting, an ex-soldier, high-up guy, noting that the Iraq War fiasco was due to Ronald Dumsfeld's lies. Of course, he brings you aspartame. He arms Kim Jong-il, connected to AQ Khan, shakes hands with Saddam Hussein, gives him chemical weapons. And that's our man. Last couple notes about the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, the mad scientist wing of the military, as it's euphemistically referred to. They're basically the transhumanism fascist sci-fi wing. DARPA starts sleuthing out disloyal troops. That's some pre-crime for you within the military, and they also want total nutritional awareness. DARPA wants to track troops' food 24/7. And we'll close out this amazing 1014 News Purge, Become the Enemy, by returning to my home state, which has become a heated battleground in the upcoming selection season, where Billy Clinton joins Joe Manchin for a rally in Morgantown, the site of WVU.
I'm here for a lot of reasons. One is, I don't think it's fair for West Virginia to have one senator and Florida to have three.
A popular president coming out swinging and landing powerful political punches.
Who is going to make the right choices? You only have one candidate that has any kind of record in all four of those areas, and he's the guy sitting behind me. You have got to elect him to the United States Senate.
And Governor Joe Manchin bringing former President Bill Clinton in to stop for him in this campaign while trying to distance himself from the current president.
I'm mad at Washington. I'm mad at the Democrats and Republicans in Washington that are putting their party and they put their own self-interest before they put the country.
And a campaign stop may have worked to get these seats filled.
I probably wouldn't come if it was Obama.
Why not?
I don't care for him. I did not vote for him.
I am a big supporter of Joe Manchin, and I'm a big fan of Bill Clinton, so I wanted to come out and support.
Now, Manchin did tell this crowd here today that he would repeal parts of the health care bill if he does make it to Washington. He says he's upset about parts surrounding Medicare and also the mandates that are in that health care bill. And, Carrie, he also voiced his disapproval with the cap-and-trade bill.
All right, thank you, Callie. Well, Manchin's opponent, John Gracie, released this statement in response to Clinton's visit. He says Joe Manchin is shameless. 4 hours before his campaign made the announcement that President Clinton would campaign for him, Joe Manchin was on MSNBC telling Andrea Mitchell that he doesn't want President Obama in West Virginia because he runs his own campaign here. Is there anything this guy won't flip-flop on? Now, the two will face off in a debate along with Mountain Party candidate Jesse Johnson next Monday.
So, that's what she was just saying. There's a debate coming up this coming Monday that's going to have Joe Manchin, Racy, and Jesse Johnson. So the quick backstory for you folks. I'm born and raised West Virginia boy. When Robert Byrd died, the governor of West Virginia decided he wants that Senate seat, so he resigned from the governorship. He is running for the Senate. He's now up against a well-funded Republican challenger, a guy with the last name of Racy. And the joke that Clinton makes in there is it's not fair for West Virginia to have one senator because Byrd's dead and we only have Rockefeller, God help us. John D. Rockefeller IV, Standard Oil, eugenics, Nazi connections, yes. And for Florida to have three, the joke being that Racy essentially is a rich guy, his wife and kids all live in Florida, he's basically an out-of-stater, and he's not a West Virginian. That kind of simply makes the decision. This debate with Mountain Party candidate Jesse Johnson should be interesting. Jesse Johnson is on Facebook. I'm connected to him through facebook.com/MediaMonarchy. I can't remember his URL immediately. But there's so much there, and there's so much that literally affects me where I'm from and where I live. Connected to this, the other thing you may have heard about, GOP pulls West Virginia Senate ad with Hickey actors. The company basically in their actors call wanted people hickey looking. And once the news broke, they had to pull it. And then, of course, Manchin and the Democrats could attack them, saying these out-of-staters are basically looking for hick actors. Almost heaven. Oy. Our last note of West Virginia worry and our last note on this massive news purge, Massey Energy again fails surprise mining inspection. Massey Energy, of course, connected to the Upper Big Branch mine that killed some 2+ dozen miners earlier this year in April in West Virginia. Quickly now, our last two posts, I just have to briefly mention, and again, as is true with pretty much everything on this radio show, it's a jam-packed 2 hours, but there's even more research and reading and video and audio and research for you to go check out yourself. This story somehow took off amazingly and has a bunch of comments. MediaMonarchy.com doesn't get a whole lot of comments, although I welcome them. Insane clown posse claim they've been evangelical Christians all along. This article's from The Guardian. However, it's written by John Ronson, he of the men who stare at goats, who also snuck into Bohemian Grove with Alex Jones, who, while he feigns lip service to alternative news and investigative journalism, he's also just kind of a hired debunker, it seems. So, the Insane Clown Posse, John Ronson, and God have created a controversy loaf that smells pretty fishy to the multitudes. Again, I wish I could spend more time on all of these stories. We'll close out with History Mystery and the post that, again, it comes from the past, but it illuminates our present and hopefully not our future. Kent State tape recording reveals gunshots by FBI informant. Revelations prompt congressional inquiry, thanks to, of course, Kucinich in Ohio. A tape recording of the 1970 shooting deaths of 4 Kent State University students by Ohio National Guardsmen reveals the sound of a pistol shot 70 seconds earlier. If we jump down, we'll see that Terry Norman, a Kent State student photographer, taking pictures of protesters that day for the FBI on their payroll, was carrying a loaded .38 caliber revolver under his coat. He said he fired it when he felt nervous. So you again have FBI connected, intelligence connected, dupes and assets, useful idiots, causing a catalyzing catastrophic event. We'll blow it out with the other related posted at the bottom history mystery notes. Canada's secret Cold War plan included mass detentions. Surprise, surprise. A stunning alternative history of the past half millennium comes from Edward Nearson.wordpress.com. Comes from an amazing radio show, and we close it out with a clip that we don't have time for, but you can watch it. Thanks to Brass Check TV and the amazing documentary called Spin by a guy named Brian Singer that I think we focused on very, very, very early on the Media Monarchy radio show. Their latest video is Columbus Day sanitized, going into the media's cover-up of the real question surrounding Columbus Day, which we just had this past Monday. And of course, that's really the stopper to so many of our questions and debates of, oh, we really need to get back to our roots of taking over someone else's land. That's a hard and bitter pill to swallow, my friends, and that's how we're going to close out this 190th episode of MediaMonarchy.com. We'll quickly note the couple of creepy customers traveling and visiting and logging into MediaMonarchy.com in the past week. The Department of Homeland Security out of Alexandria, Virginia, googled Noble Eagle Exercise, and of course, headquarters USAISC, this time out of Manhattan, Kansas. Hit me up via Facebook.com/MediaMonarchy. You should not be surprised, my friends. You know all the things I feel. If you're a longtime listener, if you're new, of course, welcome you aboard. None of this is possible without you. We all have to work together and use these tools while we can and keep this going while we can. There is some type of revolution going on. There is some type of paradigm shift going on, but we need to incite a revelation and ultimately be the change we want to see in the world. My name's James M. Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, reminding you, as always, don't hate the media. Become the media. Take care.
MediaMonarchy.com is your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies and cover-ups. Featuring weekly radio shows on the Portland Radio Authority, PRAradio.org, the New World Nexus video series with CorbettReport.com, plus special interview episodes, B-sides, mixtapes and so much more. Send news tips to MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. You can make a donation, or mail Media to the Monarchy, at P.O. Box 12165, Portland, Oregon, 97212. Thanks to all the internet and community radio stations who broadcast these shows, and most of all, thanks to you. Remember, don't hate the media, become the media.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not go on with it, made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.